today, you know, and I just kept hearing that tune. And I texted Gary and said, well, he asked the children, would they sing that wee song tonight? And praise God, it's so true, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Now, there's a few people missing tonight, but the Lord bless those that's here. And we give everyone a warm welcome again tonight in their service. I want to preach tonight. I want to continue on from last Sunday night. You can just remain seated. We want to read Hebrews 12 and verse 24. And I want to speak about the incorruptibility of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't believe the blood of Jesus can corrupt. I don't believe it can congeal. I don't believe it can dry up. But I believe in the incorruptibility of the blood of Jesus Christ, that it's all powerful. Praise God. Now you could read in Genesis as well, but let's read for a text tonight, Hebrews 12 verse 24. In case I forget, we're going to have a water baptism on the 21st of September at our brother Jim's. Gary knows our brother Jim, don't you? And there's a few other brothers. Jim has a tank. We're going to have a water baptism. There's a few people that will be baptized. And Jim's going to lend us his tank. And also we want to lift a love offering in the middle of next month for Brother Brian coming. Give us a couple of opportunities before he comes. I'll announce it again further in another service. Let's read verse 24 just to get a text tonight, praise God, of Hebrews chapter 12. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you this evening, and we thank and praise you for the songs of Zion and for the precious word of God tonight. Father, we would pray that you would bless your word to all of our hearts this evening. Lord, that you would show us your truth from your word tonight. We thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the day in each of our lives when we experienced the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, cover us afresh with the blood tonight. Wash us afresh in the blood tonight, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Let the life of the blood come back on us, everyone, this evening. The power of the resurrection, the Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ's name. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. Bless those, Lord, that had to go away tonight and those at work. And bless those that's made a special effort to come this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would turn to Genesis also, just while we read it, and I won't hold you as long tonight. Genesis 4, verse 3 to 12. In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, thou shalt not be accepted. If thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be thy desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now we go down to verse 11. And now thou art cursed from the earth, and which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee. Her strength, a fugitive and a vagabond, shall thou be in all the earth. And you read through verse 9 and 10. You'll read there that the blood of Abel cried unto God. And I want to speak tonight on several other things about the blood. But the first one tonight is the impossibility of the blood speaking if there is no blood. The blood can't speak if the blood's congealed. And the blood can't speak if the blood is dried up. And here Abel's blood spoke to God, and God answered to that blood. Then we read in Hebrews, how much more speaks better things the blood of Jesus Christ than the blood of Abel. And if the blood of Abel can speak and God can hear it and God can answer it, how much more did the blood of Jesus Christ speak tonight? I believe we feel to fully understand the power and the potency of the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe it's far beyond our human comprehension. We need a revelation on it. That's what I believe. I said the other week, and I'm going to say it again, I can't remember the full details. My father would know it better than me, but it's a true story. Where there's a man, and he would come into towns, and he worked tricks, and he could hypnotize people, and he could do all types of stuff, and I'm sure there's still of them shows and places today. And he could hypnotize people to do all these things, but there was a man, a Pentecostal man, and he said to his son wasn't even saved, he said, if you go to where he's having his meeting tonight, and sit at the back and plead the blood of Jesus, his tricks won't work. And that man wasn't saved, and he went that night to where the man was doing his tricks, and he sat in the back, and under his breath he just kept pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. And the man was due to come out to the audience, and he failed to come out. And there's another man come out, and he said he can't do his tricks tonight, and he's going to have to cancel his show tonight. And he said, there's a man sitting in the back, if he leaves, he'd be able to continue, show and perform. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. The blood of Jesus Christ can save the vilest offender. The blood of Jesus Christ can deliver a prostitute. The blood of Jesus Christ can deliver a drug addict. The blood of Jesus Christ can take a gunman and make him a preacher. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ can do. We said before, he said it well, didn't he? He said, from handcuffs to white cuffs. From a Johnny Walker talker to the gospel preacher. And he says, praise God, he delivered me. That's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, I believe the blood speaks tonight. The freshly shed blood of Abel cried from the ground and was heard by God and answered by God. Blood speaks. Yes. The voice of the blood of Abel cried against Cain. And we find that in Hebrews 12. Now I want to point out at this point in the service, and I know you know these things because I've preached them over the years, but there's the contrast and there's a comparison. The comparison is that Abel was a shepherd and Christ was a shepherd. And the contrast is when the blood of Abel was shed and spoke to God for vengeance, it cried to God for vengeance against Cain. And it's cried from the thorns. And the thorns represent the curse. And God said, cursed is the ground for your sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. Because man disobeyed God and he fell. And God cursed the ground. And Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. They planted a crown of thorns. They put it upon him. And they beat it into his forehead. And the blood streamed forth from his forehead. And Christ cried on the cross from the thorns. And he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Abel's blood cried for vengeance, but the blood of Jesus cried for mercy. I'm glad the blood cries for mercy tonight. Abel's blood speaks of judgment. Christ's blood speaks of atonement. The blood of Christ does not stifle blood, but speak in blood. Let me read you a quotation from C.H. Spurgeon. See how red your guilt, mark the scarlet stain. If you were to wash your soul in the Atlantic Ocean, you might incarnate every wave that washes all its shores. And yet the crimson spots of your transgression would still remain. But plunge into the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And in an instant, you're whiter than the snow. Every speck, spot, and stain of sin is gone and gone forever. See, here Spurgeon says, if a preacher doesn't preach on the blood, I have one message for you about him. Never go to hear him preach. He said we must preach on the blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe, I'm sure with many others, that we believe Spurgeon was a prince of preachers. A mighty man of God. Now here's another thing about the blood. Let me turn to Revelation 7 and 14. If the blood is no more, you can't wash in it. And God requires us to wash in the blood. The blood speaks. We see the blood speaks. But the blood, you also can wash in the blood. I hear so many people, so many preachers, and they belittle the blood of Jesus. That's terrible. That's an offense to God, you know. Because my Bible calls the blood of Jesus the precious blood. As of a lamb. Without spot or blemish. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they that came out of great tribulation. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I tell you, we're going to be washed white in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I refer to you Isaiah 1:18 this morning, and I'm going to refer to it tonight again. That's what God spoke to me all them years ago in my bedroom. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse a man and cleanse a woman. Church joining won't cleanse you. Handshaking won't cleanse you. Membership won't cleanse you. Nothing can cleanse a man. Nothing can cleanse a woman. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And I tell you, it'll cleanse you for all time. And it'll cleanse you for all eternity. Aren't you glad tonight you can still wash in the blood? Even as Christians, we can wash in the blood. I need the blood. I need the blood tonight. I'll need the blood tomorrow. I thank God the blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. If the blood of Christ ran into the ground and perished, how could sinners wash in blood unavailable and unaccessible? Christ's blood is supernatural blood. Therefore, washing in it is a supernatural act. I've quoted this before. I'm going to quote it again. Is that all right? Reinhard Bonnke was invited to the television program, and they had an atheist waiting on him. And the atheist said to Reinhard Bonnke, he says, you're always preaching about the blood of Jesus and how powerful it is and what it can do and all the things it can do. And then he said, why is this happening in the world? And why is that happening in the world? And Bonnke said, he just sat and he prayed. Holy Spirit, help me. And when Bonnke finally got a chance to preach, Reinhard Bonnke said this. He said, you can go to the shop down here and you can buy a bar of soap. And you can have the soap in your possession, but until you wash in it, you're not clean. And he said, the blood of Jesus Christ is available for every man and every woman, but they must apply it, they must wash in it. And thank God when you apply the blood of Jesus, it will wash you and cleanse you from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ that brought us in. It's the blood of Christ that will keep us in. I'm not talking about into this building. I'm talking about into the mystical body of Jesus Christ, for the life for the flesh is in the blood. Remember that. That's Leviticus 17, you know that. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And when we speak about the blood of Jesus, we're speaking about superior blood than an animal's blood, a bullock, or a turtle dove, or a pigeon, or a lamb. The blood of Jesus is superior. I tell you, thank God that he's the Messiah. He's the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And I thank God for tonight. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Revelation 1:5 says, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus never used the blood of someone else.
wasn't the blood of bulls and goats and calves, which were temporal, which had to be re-offered every year, but the Word of God says once and for all was Christ offered to bear the sins for many. The Bible says he offered himself up through the eternal Spirit to God. And God was satisfied and God was appeased because the blood of Jesus Christ speaks for me and you tonight. And we can wash in it. And we can be clean. Christ's blood is not congealed blood, but it's cleansing blood. Here's another thought. The impossibility of conquering the devil by the blood if there is no blood. And the one weapon that God has left the church to conquer the devil by is the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Let's see it in the Word of God, Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. I tell you, it is the power of the blood that will overcome the devil. If ever you're in a situation where there's a demon or somebody demon possessed, as soon as you start to plead the power of the blood of Jesus, that devil will get disturbed. Religion won't disturb them. Holy living and holy convocations and nice signs will never do nothing to that devil, but the power of the blood of Jesus will. Didn't we hear this morning how Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them? And unclean spirits come out of many, crying out with loud voices. What was the end result? Great joy. When people are delivered by the power of the blood of Jesus, it brings joy. Thank God this evening we can have joy that our sins are forgiven because of the power of the blood of Jesus. The triumph of the saints over the old serpent, the devil, and Satan is by the blood of the Lamb. God's appointed weapon against Satan is the blood of Christ. We saw it overcome the death angel in Exodus. In Exodus 12, 13 it says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, God can't see blood that's congealed and dried up, but God requires it. God makes a way for it. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The blood of Jesus Christ overcomes death. Do you know that Jesus took the sting out of death? You know the story of the bee that has a stinger? And that bee has a stinger. But if that bee ever stings somebody and he leaves a stinger in that person, that bee will die. And 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus Christ took the sting out of death. He was smitten by death, and he took the sting out of death. And on the third day, God raised Christ from the dead. The tomb is empty, the cross is empty, and Jesus is risen. And Paul says in Corinthians 15, 2 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For it's swallowed up at Calvary because of the blood of Jesus. I tell you, when Jesus Christ shed his blood, he shed his blood. I don't believe in a limited atonement. I talked to a man, I went to visit a man once in a hospital, and I went to pray for him. He was dying. He says, don't pray for me. I don't believe it's God's will. It might be God's will to heal me. Don't pray for me. Then he began to tell me that the blood would only be enough blood of Jesus to save a few. And I says, nonsense. I don't believe that. I said, you've no message preaching that. My Bible tells me it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of the truth. My Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I know that there'll only be a certain one saved, and God knows it, but I'm not God. Amen. Old Ian Paisley made a statement. I'm saying old Ian Paisley, the late. Oh, we believe he's gone to be with the Lord. But he said one night, he says, Lord, if the elect is all in, elect some more. And that'll do me. If the elect's all in, Lord, elect some more. Well, I can tell you, it's to whosoever. I believe, not only do I believe the blood of Jesus can save everybody that'll come, I believe it could save 1,000 worlds if they were there and they had to come. That's how powerful I believe it is. Yes. And I believe in the power of the blood. Of what value is lost blood? Of what merit is blood that has perished? Of what virtue is blood that has decayed? Where is the victory of the blood which has disappeared? How the devil delights in every doctrine which belittles the blood. This is his ploy to rob God's people of his invincible weapon, which God has destroyed his power in the past and will destroy it each day. Each day I appropriate it and I plead the value, the virtue, the victory of the living blood of the living Lamb of God. Do you appropriate? When you pray, do you pray and say, Lord, cover me with the blood? Do you pray? Are you saved? Do you pray, Lord, when you wash me today, if I've sinned unknown or have done something that didn't please you, wash me afresh in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That should be our prayer every day. Amen. We shouldn't be afraid to plead the merits of the blood. We shouldn't be afraid to wash afresh in the blood. You say, but I washed once, I'll never need to wash again. I washed my hands this morning when I got up, and I've washed them several times a day already. There's some days I do things, I have to go and wash my face again. Though I washed it that morning, I might wash my face again before the evening's over. And before I go to bed, I might wash it again. And I want to tell you, while we're here in this flesh, we will need the blood. We can all fall short. We can all make mistakes. But the blood of Jesus lays there for you. It's available. If it can save a sinner, and it can wash a sinner, and cleanse a sinner, it can clean a saint. And I tell you, thank God for it. I want you to see the impossibility of the incorruptibility of the blood, if there is no blood. And I believe it's incorruptible. The incorruptibility of the blood of Jesus. A man said to me, there'll never be no physical blood in heaven. And he quoted me the scripture, flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom of God. And I said, that's right, yours and mine. We're going to need a body change. But I said, the same Bible says, as the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so will the heavenly. Amen. Jesus entered heaven with his own blood. How do you think heaven was opened? He plundered hell that he might populate heaven. Thank God he went down into the deepest caverns of the damned. And my Bible says he preached unto those that was held captive, and he broke the bars asunder, and he rose triumphant o'er the foe. And you know, when Jesus rose, the Bible says the Old Testament saints rose out of Abraham's bosom. And they saw them in the streets, and they saw them in the city, and the Bible says they feared. And there's going to be another resurrection. And whether the Lord literally, physically takes us in what's known as a rapture, or whether we go into the grave, it won't make no difference, for it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. There's no defeat for the Christian. It's victory the whole way. If I go before the rapture takes place, I'm with the Lord. If I'm left and I'm living, I'll be changed in a moment. The Bible says the moment in the twinkling of an eye. And I'll go to be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. I tell you, this world's in for a shock. Jesus is actually coming again. He is coming again. And didn't the Lord say, when you see the fig tree putting forth and all the other trees, and you know the fig tree's Israel, and all the other trees, all the nations now have come forth, they are identified. And Israel's identified, and we are at the end time. And Christ is coming again. And we see the end time sign. You say, brother, the end time sign, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. And I tell you, we see it all around us today. Where they rejoice and boast in their sanctuary. And God says, and through a servant Paul, that God gives them up to the reprobate mind to work that which is unseemly in the sight of God. You read it in Romans. But I believe in the incorruptibility of the blood. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things. So man that says the blood is congealed and corrupted, he is telling you and he's telling me in words that the blood of Jesus is corrupted. But here's the Bible. I believe the Bible.
Amen.
Redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation redeemed, received from tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, Jesus was the only man. You say Adam, but Adam fell. Jesus Christ was the only man that knew no sin and had no sin. Death had no claim on Jesus. Death had a claim on every other man. Because the Bible said that we're sinners by nature and sinners by birth. And it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. But death had no claim on Jesus. But Jesus willingly stepped into death. He took on death. And he defeated death. And he conquered death. And he rose triumphant over it. Acts 2 verse 27 to 31. Here's what it says. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. It's blasphemous to say that Christ is corrupted or his blood's corrupted is blasphemous. The Word of God says he will not see corruption. And you know, even when you take it, Jesus raised up no longer than 3 days so that the Word of God would be fulfilled. That he wouldn't see corruption. Buddha and Muhammad have seen corruption. Do you know that? They're in the grave. But Jesus Christ is risen. That's why our religion's the most powerfulest. Because our Savior has risen. And he's alive. And he's alive forevermore. Not only is he alive. Not only has he given us the power of the blood. But he sent back the Holy Ghost into the church.
Amen.
And he says in Romans that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken. And that word means make alive your mortal body. Somebody's living in you tonight. The life that I live by faith, Paul says, in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He's changing me from glory to glory, like unto his own self. The Lord's changing me. Do you believe you're a new creature tonight? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 28 says, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you. The patriarch David is both dead and buried in the sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And he, seeing this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. The blood of Jesus can never corrupt. The blood of Christ could not corrupt because it was God's blood. It wasn't Jewish blood, and it wasn't Gentile blood. It was God's blood. God made himself a body. Didn't he say, I will come to my temple? They saw, isn't it Isaiah 6 and 9? The government shall be upon us. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, God in flesh. He can descend and he lowered himself, he came down. And he never saw corruption. And God raised him from the grave. Made of a woman. The Virgin Mary was a special vessel God used. And he made a body, and he came to that body. And the Bible says the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in the Lord. God was in him. And the Bible says the fullness of the Godhead bodily was in Christ. Isn't that some revelation? Isn't it wonderful? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 verse 1. What's verse 14 say? The same became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And you know that in the beginning was the Word, that is Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. And the same became flesh and dwelt amongst us. It's a mystery, isn't it? But yet it's true. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. One God with three offices. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But one God. Aren't you glad for tonight? God raised his Son from the dead. He raised him. And he never saw corruption. Hebrews 4 and 14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And profession is the same as confession. What is your confession? If you need healing, confess the Lord has healed you. Confess it. Say it. Say it. The Bible says, speak those things that are not as though they were. And our profession or confession is because Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We're holding on because of our profession in Christ and the power of his blood. He entered heaven with his blood, never saw corruption. Here's my verse. Hebrews 9, verse 11 to 12 and verse 23. Let's read it. But Christ become a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy places, having obtained eternal redemption for us with his own blood. My, I tell you, that just about clears it up, doesn't it? When somebody says the blood of Jesus couldn't reach heaven. I tell you, if you have a bloodless gospel, you have an anemic gospel. It's diseased. But we're not preaching an anemic gospel tonight. We're preaching a living gospel. Living because there's vitality in the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 23 says, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. Now you know, the Lord showed me that when that man told me that. When I set out to preach several sermons after that on the blood. And one of the messages that the Lord gave me on the blood, and this is the truth, God's my witness. God spoke to me one night. And I was away preaching in Africa in a service. And several pastors got round me and they said, now the church you're going to next doesn't have the Holy Ghost. But of course they had. You always be careful when men want to make wee lodges and cut others off. And put themselves up. Be careful of that. You can't work like that. And I tell you, I really prayed going to that meeting, and God spoke to me. And I had 13 services. And the Lord said to me, this will be your best meeting. And people will get saved. And I preached on the blood of Jesus. When I finished preaching, the pastor got up on the platform and here's what he said. He said, we've just come back from a convention where they said, we don't need the blood no more. And he said, there's churches today removing the hymns with the blood in them. But he said, God has showed us tonight, through the message, that we need the blood of Jesus. And I tell you, 50 people got saved in one service. And that pastor baptized them. When I went back to that church, he would have had about 1,500 people, maybe on a Sunday, or 1,000 at least. And when I went back, it was 2,000, and I preached again. And I preached on the blood of Jesus, viewed prophetically from before the foundation of the world. What do you think of that? That's what I preached. And God moved again. And I tell you, there's a woman dying in the hospital. And the Lord raised her. Before we ever went and prayed, we prayed from the service and God healed her. God will honor the preaching on the blood. I tell you, God likes it. You know that. God likes it when you preach on the blood. I know that. And even, mammon, there's just few of us tonight, but you could have been encouraged when you hear the blood of Jesus preached. The blood entered heaven. Purified were these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrificed than these. As the high priest passed through the tabernacle to the saints, in his holiest of all, the blood of atonement, and sprinkling on the mercy seat, so our great high priest Jesus, the Son of God, passed through the heavens to the holy place of God. And there presented himself and sprinkled the mercy seat of Jehovah's eternal throne with his own incorruptible blood. We have access because of the incorruptibility of the blood of Jesus. We have access tonight. Hebrews 10 verse 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. The veil was rent that we could go in. The new way, newly slain, the blood is fresh, it is living, ever flowing, ever full, incorruptible. Blood of Jesus. Here's my last thought, and I'm closing tonight. You could never enjoy the realities of heaven if there was no blood. Absolutely impossible. You could not enjoy the realities of heaven without the blood of Jesus. Because the blood through the Old Testament could never take you to heaven. It only covered sin. And every year it had to be re-offered. But the blood of Jesus destroys sin. Because the Bible says, thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're washed away because of the power of the blood. What's Romans 8 saying? There's now no condemnation. That means judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because of the blood. Original sins dealt with. Jesus Christ has paid the price. And all other sins is dealt with when you bring them to the throne of grace. Hebrews 12, verse 22 to 24. But ye are come unto the Mount Zion and unto the holy city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than other Abel's. Here is revealed to us in this passage the sevenfold realities of heaven. I want you to get this tonight, and I'll only be a few moments. The alms indicate to us the divisions of the tax. They form a pointer to each one of the seven, the alms do in this text. Note also the twofold description given of each particular. Here's the first one. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And to an innumerable company of angels, the general assembly. And to the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven. And to God the judge of all. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than other people's. Notice the ands. Many don't believe the blood to be in heaven. They deny the word of God for scholarship. The blood is as real as heaven is. As the Lord in heaven is. As the angel in heaven is. As the saints in heaven. Thank God for his word. The Bible says, let every man be a liar, but Jesus Christ is the truth. Those that believe in a bloodless message lead people down a long, wide road of impossibilities. To a cul-de-sac of Bible rejection. That's what it is. And there's many today are leading people down the road of nevers. God can't, God can't, God can't. But we're preaching God can and God will. Hebrews 13 and 8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. He's never changed. The greatest revelation of all revelations is this. That God never changes. That's the best one. That's the greatest of all, that God never changes. So when God says something, it remains good from he says it for all eternity. It'll never need changed. You could write someone out and say, you know, I could do that better the next time. God can't. It's perfect the first time. and he done a job on the cross, and it appeased God for all eternity. God was satisfied. 1 John 5:68 says, "This is he that overcometh, overcame by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Look at verse 8. "And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." The three are one, and these three agree in one. Aren't you glad? How could the blood be a witness if it were lost and silent? Thank God the blood speaks for better things. I'm finishing on a quotation from Spurgeon. Is that all right? "I hope that there is never a Sunday but what I teach this one doctrine. And until this tongue is silent in the grave, I shall know no other gospel than just this. Trust Christ and you shall live. The bloody sacrifice of Calvary is the only hope for sinners." What a truth. And what a statement. Thank God for the blood of Jesus tonight. When a man or a woman backslide, the blood can bring them back, because it gives them new hope and they can be restored. When a man's not saved, the blood's his only hope. To us that are going through in the trials and temptations of this world, we need the power of the blood of Jesus, like Revelation says, to overcome the devil. God's given us a weapon. Let's use more the weapon God's given us. I'm a great believer. Every morning, I don't care whether I'm going or whether the children's in the car, the wife, or I'm by myself. Every morning. And if I'm not going in the house, you have to do it every day. You need to pray. Even if you're Russian, one morning I was in a rush and God spoke to me. And he said to me, "Why the rush?" And God said, "Wait upon the Lord." You'll make time if you wait and give God time. But I believe every morning we should plead the blood of Jesus. Let's stand our feet and we're going to pray, and the brother's going to come, and the Lord bless each one. Well, every head's bowed tonight and every eye closed tonight. If you'd like to represent someone perhaps in this service, and I'm going to pray with you and you're going to join with me in faith tonight, raise your hand to the Lord. We're going to pray that God will really move on whoever's in your heart tonight. And even if you yourself need a touch from the Lord can touch you tonight. Where you are, God can touch you. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you the blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Father, will you wash us all afresh this evening in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us and we shall be a kiss of sanctify us and praise thy name. Father, this evening we do pray for all those that's near and dear on our hearts this evening. We plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb of God over every one of them tonight. We pray wherever that young man is, that young woman, that the Holy Spirit will take a moving upon them and a dealing upon them and save them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Father, for your own people in this house tonight, or perhaps someone listening in, that needs a mighty touch from God. Lord, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. You are a God of miracles. You're the miracle worker when you were here on earth. And I know that you're never changed. Your message remains the same. Your presence remains the same. Heal my brother. Heal my sister. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. I rebuke the spirit of poverty and fear in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for perfect liberty in the Holy Ghost tonight. Bless your brothers. He leads the songs of Zion. Help us to worship you. Help us to appreciate and to magnify the name of the Lord. For you've done great things for us, Lord. For oft we're truly glad. Bless us tonight as we bless you, Lord.
And we thank you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as our brother comes.